Today we are excited because we are in our series, Walking with Him. You know, we have these slippers on the stage, these sandals that Jesus would have walked in. And no, those are not to His real size. They're just props on the stage. But the reality is this, we've got some big shoes to fill. And what He did for us was amazing. He died on the cross, but not only did He die on the cross for our sins to be taken away, what Jesus literally did was He taught His disciples how to do what He did. And for you to understand how important that is, He gave us one of the greatest commands to go into all the world and teach people about Him. Teach them to obey what it means to be a Christian. In the New Testament, Christian wasn't even a word that was used. They used a term called those that walked in the way. That means that they walked just like Jesus did. And so we want to get together and learn what was it that Jesus taught that He wants all of us to learn and teach others. And I believe with all my heart that if we can learn what He knew, and then teach it to ourselves, and then teach it to another, I can equip all of you to be able to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear, without nervousness, because you'll have it already laid out. And so today, we are in the series talking about what is baptisms. There are doctrines, and we're coming out of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Would you bring that up on the screen? Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and this is the foundation that Paul is talking about. He says, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. In other words, he says, we don't want to keep going over the same thing. And he says, let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. How many want to become mature in understanding about Christ? Amen. I know if you're anything like me, I had questions like, God, who do I pray to? Do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to the Father? Do I pray to the Son? Who do I pray to? The Holy Ghost? What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen to my body? What's going to happen at Judgment Day? What do you mean, baptism? What is this thing called baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is all this stuff about laying on the hands? And all of these things we question, and rarely do we get answers. Well, you're going to get all those answers and even more, even in this series. But the key word here is doctrine. Everyone say that with me. Say it like you're mad about it. Oh, yeah, y'all get angry a lot. Amen. He says in this verse, he says in the King James Version, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. And in this verse it says, not going instead and becoming mature in our understanding. Surely we do not need to start again the fundamental importance and the doctrine of repenting from evil deeds. That means there is a doctrine. That's a set group of teachings that will teach you what it means to repent from evil deeds. Now, why is that important? Because in order for your faith to be solid, you've got to know what you believe. You have to be able to say, this is what I believe, and this is why. Because often people say, well, religion is whatever it is to me. God is not like that. When God made gravity, you may not believe in gravity, but jump off a building. Gravity works whether we believe it or not. People say, well, I don't believe in God. It's okay. He believes in you. Doesn't matter. See, the reality is this, is that there are truths that are unchangeable. And if you're going to be a Christian and walk in His way, we have to know the doctrines of Christianity. And so he says repentance from dead works or what is it, from evil deeds. And the second doctrine is placing our faith towards God. We had an incredible teaching last week by Minister Remington. Wasn't it a great teaching? Awesome teaching in the Word. And then verse 2 goes on to say these words. You don't need further instruction about baptisms. Everybody go, in other words, there's not just one. Did you know that the doctrine of baptisms mean there are three different baptisms that you should know about? Three. The question is, have you done all three? Interesting. How many think you've done all three? Raise your hand. How many don't even know what I'm talking about right now? Praise the Lord. Look at that. The truth will make you free. Amen. So the reality is many of us were never taught what that means. What is it? What do you mean three baptisms? Well, I'm going to teach you over this weekend and the next that the three baptisms. I'll start off by giving you what they are. It is important to know this because it's very important. There are three baptisms in the New Testament that every believer is expected to do as an obedient Christian. Please take a listen to these three. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. This is the first baptism that a believer experiences. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Now look at this. It's Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's teaching them what the baptisms are. He says this, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. He is first identifying that we're all different. We all come from different backgrounds. None of us is from the same place. However, something happens in the kingdom of God when you give your life to Christ. It doesn't matter where you come from. Listen to what happens. But we have all been what? Baptized. Say it again. Into what? One body, one spirit, and we all share. Did you know that the moment you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are spiritually baptized into the body of Christ? That is the first baptism, the doctrine of baptism into the body of Christ by the Spirit. That means you are translated from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God. That means you are no longer victims of the world, but victors of the world. You're in Christ. Now, I'm going to prove a couple things because this one is, why is this important to know? Because how many remember what it was like when you didn't know God? How many were a mess? How many were more than a mess? See, that was like me. I wasn't a sinner. I taught classes. You know what I mean? That's what I was bad. It was terrible. I didn't know him and didn't know I didn't know him. That's the worst thing. And so when you are baptized into the body of Christ, something changes. The Bible tells me this, that there is a prince of this world, and the Bible calls him the devil. That he runs rampant. He tries to kill, steal, and destroy. People all around the world are being destroyed by this spirit. And there's angels that fell out of heaven with him. And they're all around. And people are being destroyed with addictions and drugs and a life of hate and anger and unforgiveness. And he drives that in the world, making people fall away from God. But when you are baptized in the body of Christ, something amazing happens. We'll get to that in just a second. Here's the second baptism. It comes from Matthew 28 and 19. Matthew 28 and 19. This is the second baptism. Jesus says to the church, therefore go and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the second baptism is baptism in water. That's what you see every Sunday when we lift this up and someone gives their life to Christ. They are baptized into the water, representing the death of Jesus Christ going down into the grave, then resurrected unto new life. When a person gets baptized in Christ, he says to the world, I am not ashamed of who I believe. You know, in the New Testament, when a person got baptized, they had to go down to the Jordan River. That means they went to the busiest place in Israel and got baptized in front of everybody. That means you couldn't do it in secret. You had to do it in the open. Imagine the busiest beach you ever been to, and you walking right out in the middle of it and getting baptized in front of everybody, telling the world, this is who I am. The third baptism is this. Write this down, please. Third baptism is found in Matthew 3 and 11. Matthew 3 and 11. The third baptism says, I baptize, this is John the Baptist speaking about the coming baptism that we now have. He said this, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins. We just talked about that and turn to God. But someone is coming soon. Man, it sounds like a movie, right? Coming soon to a church near you. You know what I'm saying? It's like coming soon. Somebody is coming that's even greater than me. So much greater, it says, that I am not even worthy to be his slave or carry his shoes. Wow, that's a big dude. I couldn't even carry them shoes. You know what I'm saying? He says, I can't even carry his sandals. Here's what he will do. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not just symbolic. That means he will baptize you, totally baptize you with his Spirit, and it's going to be an experience. You know, when I got saved, I thought Christ or Christianity was nothing more than an intellectual pursuit. Just you believe these things and that's it. There's nothing else out there. Until God showed me that I not only can touch your mind, but I can literally touch your body so that you go, man, something happened to me. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that more next week. But I want to go into this first one a little deeper. The doctrine of baptism into the body. Here's something I want you to understand. By becoming a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit does something very unique to us. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Very unique thing that the Holy Spirit does to each of us when you come to Christ. Now, the reason this happens is some of you, you couldn't stop cussing until you came to Christ. Oh, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about now. Just say, praise the Lord. Amen. I know, you know, I was one of the cussing brigade. I mean, I know that there were things I couldn't stop. There were desires I had I couldn't hold in check. And I didn't know what to do about it. But when I came to Christ, his Holy Spirit came inside of me and gave me the power to overcome all my sins. That's what happens. But watch this. Here's what he says. I love this. Look at verse 13. It says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news, that God saves you. And watch this. Not only does he save you, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. How do you know you belong to God? Because God gave you something. It's called the Holy Spirit. Now, some people live their entire life and never know what I'm talking about, but not you. Not so in your life. In your lifetime, you should experience what it means to be separated from the world and brought into the kingdom of God. Because when you are in the world, you know what happened? You can only react out of your five senses. Smell, touch, taste, sight, hearing. That's all you knew. And if it didn't come through one of those ways, you didn't get it. But when you get baptized into the body, you are now connected to God's Spirit. And God is omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's all that other stuff. That's how you just move on. So now you don't just know through your five senses, you know through God's Spirit, and he knows everything. Have you ever got up and said, so-and-so's on my heart, And then when you call them, they're going through something. Anybody has that happen before? Look around. Look how that happened. That's because you're in one body, one spirit. The same thing happens to all of us. Have you ever had a sense of don't go there? And when you find out you didn't go, it was because there was trouble on the other side. Anybody have that happen? Look around. Have you ever met somebody that looked cute, but something said, y'all lying. You know you didn't listen. You didn't listen. See, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and he tells us things. And when we're in the body, he knows things that we don't know. And now, when there was a time where you couldn't stop cussing, now there's a mental check in your head that goes, And you used to cuss in front of everybody's mama. And then all of a sudden, there's something that says, that ain't right. And you go, you know, daggone it. And you know that's not what you really want to say. But something in you changed. He baptized you into the body by his Spirit. Now the Bible says old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That means you have a new, the Bible calls you a new creature. That means there ain't no other creatures out there like you. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't nothing but a creature. Y'all better quit calling people names. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says what has happened because of Christ dying on the cross. He didn't just say, okay, now you can go to heaven. God bless you. See you when you get there. No. He says, I'm going to help you while you're here. So first thing I'm going to do is baptize you into the body. You're a new creature. All old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And now you're there like, wow. Something changed. I remember the story of a young woman that came to church, and she had been born again relatively recently. And her friend was still out in the world, not born again. And they decided to go to a rock concert with this famous artist. And she had backstage passes. Somebody say, uh-oh. Yeah, it wasn't good. So she got around to the back door with her friend, and she's a Christian, and something in her is saying, you know you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. You don't need to be here. You don't need to be drinking that. You shouldn't be here. But she's ignoring the voice. But her friend had the tickets, went up to the door, and there was this big woman at the door, huge woman. And she said, hey, we got backstage tickets. She looked at the tickets. She looked at the girls, looked at the tickets. She handed one to her friend and said, go on in. And a friend walked in. And the other girl that was just born again believer said, hey, I'm with her. How come you won't let me in? And the lady looked at her and said, because I'm a witch. And you got this big old angel standing behind you. He ain't allowed up in here. See, some things change you don't even see. But those that can see in the spirit know, man, something happened. You are a new creature in Christ. That's why you try to go to the club and people say, you don't look like you belong here. You used to be the smoothest brother. You used to walk in, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, man? What's happening, baby? Yeah, you were that brother. And then after you get saved, you try to go in there and be smooth, but you walk in. And somebody walks over and go, you don't belong here. You done lost your rhythm. You done lost everything. Your game is gone. Why? Because your spirit is like, we ain't playing. We're not playing anymore. I want to give you real joy, real life. You've been baptized into the body. And man, now listen, people say, well, man, I don't want that because then I don't have any fun. No. How many have ever been in a club and felt like it was the loneliest place in the world? Come on now. The Holy Spirit is saying, no, I'm not taking away from you. I'm now steering you to what really makes you happy. Because that bottle will never make you happy. Being promiscuous will never make you happy. Being angry and fighting all the time won't make you happy. But what if I can show you what can make you happy? Will you follow me? So I baptize you into the body because you can't do it by yourself. There are some habits and hang-ups and sins we can't handle on our own. But when His Spirit comes in us, we are like Superman, and we can change what we couldn't change before. Now, let me show you why. I love this part. Let's continue with this verse. I love this. He said this. He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. Can we turn to the King James Version? I want you to see this word. King James Version was closer to the original language when it was written. And I love this. It says this. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Please write that word down. Sealed. There's an old song he's come out. Sign. How's it go? See, you know, see, that's the Holy Ghost. I can't even sing that song. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I hope not. Anyway, you were sealed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What in the world does that mean? Let me show you what it means for you. The word sealed means to set a seal upon, a mark with a seal, meaning you've been marked by God that you belong to Him. But it's even deeper. It says to seal for security from Satan. Used to mess my life up, always getting me in trouble. And God says, now I have sealed him off from you. Wait, Pastor Steve, because that don't sound right. Because, you know, where I grew up, you know, if you're a Christian, you know, he still can mess with you. And, you know, I was taught that a believer can be filled with a devil. Satan can possess a Christian. How many? And that's a very good question. Well, before we say no, let's check the word. We got to know. How many believe that Satan can possess a Christian? Raise your hand. Because y'all seen some crazy Christians, right? Raise your hand nice and high. How many believe that a Christian can be possessed? Put your hands down. How many believe a Christian can't be possessed? Put your hands down. How many don't know? Great. Okay. Well, let's find out if this is true. Can a Christian be possessed? Because you know what? I don't know about you, but I think that's important to know. Because if I give my life to Christ, can He keep it? If I give my heart to Christ, is somebody else going to steal it away? Let's look into the Word. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18, and he begins to tell us what a Holy Spirit sealed believer's protections are. Watch this. Can we read this together? Let's read. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, let me stop right here. Look at me, please. Look at me. How many are born again? Give your life to Christ. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you have sinned after you've been born again? Put your hands down. The Bible says if you're born again, you don't sin. So y'all got a problem. I'm the only one? No, I'm just kidding. Let me explain. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. The word sinneth there in the Greek means to be in a lifestyle of continual action. We all stumble. We all fall. We all make mistakes, but we get back up again. But a true sin, you can never call yourself a sinner, because a sinner is unredeemed. They don't have the spirit that says, get up again. A sinner is someone that continues in the action even without remorse. There's a song that came out years ago. A saint is just a sinner who fell down. Not so. Once I became a saint, you can't call me a sinner. I may have made a mistake, but that's what the blood was for. Somebody say amen. Somebody say you can come back. Oh, you didn't say it like you mean it. You can come back. Say it louder. Turn to somebody and say it. That's right. In Christ, you are bought with a price. You are not your own. You can come home. You can come home. You can come home. Satan got no hold on you. Now watch this. It says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Why? Because that spirit's in you. And it says, and that wicked one toucheth him. Woo! The wicked one can't touch him. Can't touch this. You did it. Pastor Steve, how do you explain these issues I have that seem to keep going? Because you have to have your mind transformed. Your spirit is transformed, but the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you may know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The more you learn about him, the more chains get broken off of you. It's just, you got to learn more. You got to grow more. You got to mature more. And because you've already been set free, you just got to know how free you are. And the wicked one can't touch you. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm not so sure about it. Well, let me back it up. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 21. The Bible says he can't touch you. He can't touch you. He can touch everything around you. He could try, but he can't touch you. That's what the seal does. Watch this. Jesus is talking about plundering the enemy. There's a man in his day that was possessed with the devil, and Jesus literally cast the devil out. The disciples that were there and the Pharisees were there were in awe. And the Pharisees looked at Jesus and said, oh, you cast him out by a devil. Because you were part of the devils. Jesus said, seriously? That's what he said. It was a Steve Yates version. Seriously? And he went on and said, listen, let me give you an understanding. He says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Now, what he's referring to, the palace meaning the body, okay? And he says, well, when a strong man is keeping his house, you know, he's got his pistol, or he got a guard dog, or he got something to keep his house, ain't nobody going to mess with his stuff. But watch this, 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh from him all of his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now, you got to understand the context of this. Jesus just cast out a devil. And he says, listen, let me tell you something. The only way I can cast out a devil is I got to be stronger than him. That means that I can go in, take everything he was messing your life up with, divide the spoils back to you because I'm stronger than he is. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that mean for you? How in the world can the devil overtake your strong man? Who's your strong man? Let's read. Let's find out who our strong man is. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Who is the strong man of the Christian? And let's decide if the enemy can overtake him. Verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in? Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait a minute. Do it in the NLT. Just make it pretty. Do it in the NLT version. I want us to read it together. You got to know this. Read. So God's Spirit lives in you. He doesn't just come on vacation. He's not there when you're only happy. He's there all the time. God, where are you? I'm inside. You ever done that? God, where are you?
I'm right here. I'm right here.
He's inside. So here's the question. If our strong man is the one who keeps our house, what on earth can conquer him? Because you remember, God is the creator. Everything else was created. Satan was a created creature. Can the creation beat the creator? Nah. That's why the Bible says he gives you an earnest. He gives you a portion. His Spirit's in you, and the wicked one can't touch it because it ain't stronger than him. You've got to believe that. You've got to stop telling yourself the devil is on my body. He ain't on your body. He ain't allowed near your body. You went out without a proper clothing on and got sick. Quit walking around with no shoes on. What does God think of when he gives us the Spirit? I want you to turn to Ephesians 1 and 14. Watch this. This is the most powerful thing. I'm going to send you home with this one. You need to understand this. Ephesians 1 and 14. Let's do it in the King James as well. Very important. You understand this truth. Wow. In speaking of the Holy Spirit, he says, let's go to 13 and come to 14 so we have context. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye trusted, you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Next verse. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, let me explain what that means. The Holy Spirit is your earnest. Now, what does that mean? Until the redemption or the taking back of the purchased property. God left something here and said, I'll be back. I'm putting this here as a down payment. For me to come back. That's why you'll know it's mine, because I have a down payment on it. And what is our down payment? The Holy Spirit. He's earnest means this. Earnest is the Hebrew language, means this. Something given which is in purchase is given as a pledge or down payment that the full amount will subsequently be paid. In other words, God gives you the Holy Spirit as a down payment to let you know that he's coming back to get the rest of what he paid for. Somebody ought to say amen. He's coming back for you. How do I know this is true? Watch this, and you'll love this. In the Bible, when a husband marries a bride, He puts down an earnest or a down payment. We do this today. It's called a wedding band. We give the loved one a ring and said, this is our engagement because I'm promising you I'm going to marry you and take you home with me. In the Old Testament, they would do the same, and he would go away for about a year, prepare a place, then come back and get his bride. I want you to understand, go to John 14 and 1. I want you to understand what Jesus said, and this will make sense. Because sometimes you read things, you don't really get it unless it's put in context. This is in the NLT, please. He says this, verse 14 and 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Verse 2. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? He's speaking as the groom. I'm going away to prepare a house for us. Verse 3. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Isn't that something? Jesus says, I'm coming back, and I'm going to get you to come back to heaven with me. And the way that you know you're coming back with me is because of that Holy Spirit down payment I gave you. Now, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? Go to verse 18. No, 25, please. 25. He says, I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, my earnest, my token, my wedding ring, that is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. The Bible says that being baptized into the body is a down payment of being resurrected into heaven. Somebody say amen. That is a gift. God gave you something to prove that he's real. And he's coming back. So when you see signs, wonders, and miracles as we go through this series, you'll know Jesus gave us a down payment. And it was a bad ring. Somebody say amen. Would you stand to your feet, please?